B-Day, we spent the afternoon with them. And you won't even guess where we are now. We're at the ad. She didn't finish the message before it was sent. Next comes a bunch of questions from Mia and Riley. Where are you? Have you been drinking? Your message cut off. And then they get worried. Seriously, what's going on? You can't leave us hanging like that. As I'm scrolling through, the phone starts to ring, Mia's name lighting up the caller ID. Hello, Mia. Mac? What's going on? We got a weird text from Kat, and now we can't reach her. I don't know, I reply, and scrub my hand over my face. I'm starting to panic, but I have to stay calm. I brought Kat to the Adele concert tonight, and she said she had to use the bathroom. She didn't come back, so I went to find her. I found her phone on the ground by the bathroom, but I can't find her anywhere. Do you know where she might be? She'd be with you, Mac, Mia replies, worry heavy in her voice. She's crazy about you, and Adele is her favorite. She'd go right back to her seat. Fuck, I mutter, and keep my eyes on the people around me, looking for her. The concert has started, so there are few people walking about now. I'm not sure what to do. Go back to your seat to see if she came back. If not, ask an employee if they can send people into the restrooms to yell for her. It's faster than you doing it yourself. Good idea. And if she's not here? She pauses. We find her. I nod and set off toward our seats. Thanks, Mia. I click off and make my way down to our seats as Adele sings Someone Like You. The crowd is happy and energetic, soaking up every note, every word. But all I can focus on is Kat and finding her, holding her, making sure she's safe. She's not in her seat, as I'd hoped, so I climb the stairs again and find a member of security. Excuse me. The tall man turns to me. His name tag says Tibble. Yes? I'm trying to find my girlfriend. I explain the situation, amazed that I'm as calm as I am because inside I'm screaming. Where the fuck is she? Do you have a photo of her? He asks. Yes, I show him the photo on my phone. Do you want me to text it to you? That would be great. I'll send it to my guys and we'll search the bathrooms to make sure she didn't have to go in search of a shorter line. Perfect, I reply in relief and send him the photo. Can I stick with you while we wait to hear? Of course. He sends out a message on his phone, then speaks into the radio on his shoulder. Attention, I just sent a photo of a woman who is missing. Her boyfriend is looking for her. Her name is Kat. Please check all restrooms and food service lines and report back ASAP. We stand here for what seems forever as one by one reports come in that she's not here. She's not here. The hair stands on end all over my body as I realize that Kat is nowhere to be found. Where could she be? I mutter and pace back and forth. I'm going to call the cops. They won't do much, Tibble replies. She hasn't been gone for 24 hours and we have no evidence of foul play. She wouldn't walk away, I reply in frustration. You can try, but I used to be a cop and I'm telling you, they won't be able to do much. I dial 911 and speak to the operator, repeating the story. I'm sorry, sir, if she hasn't been gone for 24 hours, there's nothing we can do. Shit. I sigh and drag my hand down my face. Thanks anyway. I suggest you go home, Tibble says. We'll keep looking here, and if we find her, I'll call you right away. In the meantime, you should call her family and friends to find out if they've heard from her. I have her phone, I remind him. She must have dropped it. We have this covered, he repeats. You'll do better to go have friends and family help you. She'll turn up. Are you sure you didn't say something to piss her off and she split? Women can be sensitive. I shake my head. I know he's trying to lighten the mood, but it's not working. She was fine. It's her birthday. We were having a great day. Damn. Tibble shakes his head. She's around here somewhere. We'll find her. I nod and walk away, torn. Part of me wants to stay and continue to look for her here. This is where I last saw her. But Tibble's right. He and his team can keep searching here, and I can see what I can find at home. Please, God, let her be at home. Rather than head back to my place, I go to Kat's. If she's going to go home, this is where she'll be. Just as I walk through the door, my phone rings. My heart jumps, hoping it's Tibble to say they found her, but it's not him. It's my dad. Hi, Dad. Hey, buddy. Is this a bad time? Actually, yes. I'm sorry, I don't have time to chat. Can I call you back tomorrow? Sure. I was just checking to make sure you and your mother are okay. I frown at the phone. We're all okay. I'll talk to you later. I end the call and shake my head. I have enough to worry about. I don't need to worry about my dad, too. Who do I call first? Mia will have my head if I don't update her right away, so I call her back. Tell me you found her, she says. I didn't. I fill her in on what happened at the Moda Center. I'm at her place now. I don't know where to go to find her. Stay there, Mia replies. We're all on our way. We'll figure this out. Thanks, Mia. I hang up with her and immediately call my brother. Yellow, he says. Wait, aren't you supposed to be romancing it up at the concert? Chase, I need your help. She's been gone for almost 3 hours, I say in aggravation as I pace Kat's condo and push my hands through my hair. Where the fuck is she? I have calls out to some people who can help, Jake says as he rubs circles on Addie's back. They did some security for me in my touring days, and one of the guys lives here. He's making some calls. Thanks, I reply. I hate that she doesn't have her phone, Cammy says. She's sitting next to Landon, her knees pulled up to her chest, and she wipes a tear from her cheek. She can't call us if she's in trouble. Why was it on the floor? Riley asks. I assume it fell out of her pocket when she was in line, I reply. Besides, Kat's made it no secret that she's not attached to her phone like the rest of the world. Not when she's at work or with one of us, but when she's alone. She would never be careless with it. She knows how to be safe, Mac. Riley stands to also pace the room. Kat's parents are in the kitchen talking with Mia, my mom, and Chase. Everyone in our circle is in this room, worried out of our minds. And to be honest, I'm a bit pissed, too. Maybe it's just because it's easier to be angry than scared, but damn it, where the fuck is she? How are you holding up? Jake asks as he joins me at the window. I'm all over the place, I reply honestly. Where could she be, man? I don't know. He shakes his head and sighs. This isn't like her at all. She's not the type of woman to just run off for the hell of it, and she's pretty crazy about you. I'm in love with her. I don't even care that tears are threatening. She's my life, Jake. It's like I was just walking through life in a fog until her, and now I see everything crystal clear. She's put everything into focus for me. My life doesn't work without her. Have you told her this? He asks. No. Disgusted with myself, I shake my head and pace away, then back again. I wanted to tell her I love her over and over again. Why haven't you then? Addie asks as she joins us. Because I'm fucked up. Because being in something for the long haul scares me, but thinking of anything but forever with her makes me panic. That's sweet, Addie says, and rests her head on Jake's shoulder, her hands over her belly. She's always been the same way, sort of. Or she never met anyone worth being in love with before you. I have to tell you, I've seen a change in Kat since she's been with you. I've seen it too, Mia says. I look up to realize that everyone is watching us, listening. She softened a bit. Don't get me wrong, she's still a badass. She's still Cat. I don't know how to describe it. She's in love, Cammy says. She's not so cynical anymore. She's happy and content. You make her happy. We were just saying that this afternoon on our way home from lunch, Sue says with a sad smile. She's finally found someone she can truly talk to, who isn't afraid of her intelligence or intimidated by her success. She's fucking amazing, I reply, my throat hoarse. I swallow hard and rub my fingers roughly over my lips. She's everything I've ever wanted, and I swear a part of me knew it the minute she sat next to me on that plane. She was so damn scared, but she held it together. I didn't even know her, but I was so proud of her. She's an amazing woman, Riley says with a nod. And we're going to find her, Mac. She's going to be fine, and you can tell her all of those things yourself. I pray you're right. Of course I'm right. She rests her fists on her hips. I'm used to getting my way, and I'm not about to lose my best friend now. She must be lost or hurt or something. That's it, Cammy exclaims. Maybe she couldn't find her way back to your seats and she ended up sitting somewhere else to watch the show. She lost her phone so she couldn't call you.
The show was over an hour ago, I reply.
Maybe she's waiting for a cab, Landon suggests. I once went to a concert up in Tacoma, and after the show it took me 2 hours to get a cab home. And let me tell you, that's a sketchy neighborhood. I thought for sure I'd end up killed in a drive-by.
That has to be it, Addie says with a nod. And she lost her phone, so she can't call or text anyone. She's probably just as worried as we are.
Maybe, I reply, hope finally starting to bloom in my gut. I take a deep breath and nod. That does make sense. The show was sold out, so it could take her quite a while to hail a cab.
Not to mention, Cammy adds, if she spent time searching through the crowds for you, she may still be waiting for a ride.
Maybe we should drive over there and look for her, Stu suggests. I can go, and if she turns up here, just call me and I'll come back.
I can go with you, Mia offers. I know that place inside out. I love to go to shows there.
Could it be this simple? She just got lost and couldn't find me? Jesus, all of this worry could have been for nothing.
If you don't mind going to look, I'd appreciate it, I reply. I'll stay here in case she comes home.
We'll all wait with you, Riley says. We won't leave you alone.
Kat has an amazing family. I look around at everyone and feel immense gratitude and love. Thank you, everyone.
Sounds like we're your family now, too, Addie says with a wink. That can be both a blessing and a curse with this crazy group.
Run while you can, Jake says with a smile, then sobers as he takes Addie's hand in his.
Seriously, I can't think of anyone else I'd rather have at my back if something were to happen to Addie. We're going to figure this out.
Just then, Jake's phone rings.
Here's my guy. Hello?
He steps away to talk, then comes back with a frown.
He said until we actually hear from her, there's not much they can do to trace her, especially since she doesn't have her phone on her. But if she calls, they can trace it.
Shit, we're dead in the water.
Maybe use a different idiom, Sue says. She's wringing her hands and biting her lip, exactly the same way Kat does.
I walk to her and wrap my arm around her shoulders.
She's going to be fine.
Okay, she replies, just as my own phone rings.
Maybe that's her.
I glance at the caller ID and roll my eyes, declining the call.
No, it's my dad. I barely hear from him for years, and all of a sudden he's become super chatty.
He's called me a few times, too, Chase says with a frown.
I think he's lonely, Mom replies, but that's not my fault.
Chase and I both smile, share a look, and nod.
No, it's not your fault, I say.
There he is again, Chase says as his phone rings.
Hi, Dad.
I watch Chase's face as Dad talks. I wish I could hear what he's saying.
No, Dad, I really don't have time to talk right now. Kat is missing and we're trying to figure out where she is.
Chase rolls his eyes.
Kat is Mac's girlfriend.
No, I'm sure you haven't heard about her because we've all been too busy worrying about you to tell you what's going on with us.
Don't scold him, Mom says, but Chase waves her off.
We don't know, Chase continues. Mac took her to a concert tonight, and when she went to the restroom, she never came back. We can't find her.
I pace away, not wanting to listen to Chase talk to Dad anymore. I don't want to listen to anyone talk anymore, unless it's Kat saying, I'm home.
I wander back to the bedroom and just stand in the middle of the room, looking around. Her space is feminine, but not overdone. It smells like her. The heels she wore last night are on the floor at the end of the bed. There are dirty clothes on the chair by the window. It looks like she's going to walk out of the bathroom and smile at me in that way she does when she's looking to get laid. I fucking love that look. I love her. I need her back. Jesus, I'm a fucking mess. I wander back into the main living area in time to see Chase scowl and say,
What?
My God, Dad, what the fuck did you do?
Chapter 19. Kat. Something smells horrible. I'm slowly coming awake. Damn, I must have partied way too hard last night because my head feels like I went a round or two with a boxer. My mouth is so dry. I'm just sore. I open one eye and frown. I'm not in my condo. I'm not in my bed. Where the fuck am I? And then it all comes flooding back. Meeting my parents for lunch and the concert. Being led away by Preston and his buddy. Oh, fuck. I've been kidnapped. Don't panic. I whisper to myself and glance around the room. I'm the only one here. This is quite the storm, Cat. What are you going to do to get yourself out of here? I don't know why I'm here. I have no idea what they want. They refused to tell me as they dragged me to the car, and then they knocked me the fuck out. I rub the back of my head as I sit up on the old couch they dumped me on. It's lumpy, and probably infested with stuff I don't want to know about. The shiver. I pull my knees up to my chest. The door opens, and here comes Preston, the guy who helped him nab me and some guy I've never seen before.
You're awake, the stranger says.
Where am I?
He just shakes his head and sits behind the old metal desk, resting his hands on his large belly.
You don't get to ask the questions, honey. I do.
Told you she's a talker, Preston says with a smirk.
I bite my lip and glare at all three of them. There has to be some kind of mistake. Surely I don't have any information that they could want.
I'll answer your questions, I say at last.
Great.
The stranger smiles, revealing a gold tooth in the front. His hair is slicked back. He has gold rings on almost every finger. He's the stereotypical bad guy. If I wasn't so scared, I'd laugh.
I'm owed a very large sum of money, he says, leaning forward. I've been a patient man, Cat.
I'm quite sure that I don't owe you any money, I reply, and feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Max, Dad.
You're right, but your boyfriend's father does. He stopped making payments on his debt. He stopped taking my calls.
I wouldn't answer your calls either. Why?
I begin, but he cuts me off.
Stop talking.
He glares at me and I bite my lip again.
His kid stopped giving him money.
Good.
But he's going to pay up when he finds out that I have you.
You don't have to do this.
You're not good at taking orders, are you, princess?
I almost laugh at the princess reference, but think twice about it. This guy doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humor. Plus, he's a little scary. And he's holding me for ransom.
Seriously? I'm being held for ransom? Is this a movie?
I had no idea this actually happened in real life.
In fact,
he continues,
I think I'll call him now.
I close my eyes. I'm breaking out in a sweat from panic, but I won't let them see my fear.
No way will they get that satisfaction. Instead, I stay silent and watch as he punches numbers in his phone. His dark, evil eyes are on mine as he waits for Mac to pick up.
I have her,
he simply says when Mac answers.
And if you don't want me to hurt her, you'll pay me the quarter of a million that your father owes me.
What?
If you don't,
he replies,
she'll work it off until it's paid in full.
I'm going to throw up. I swallow hard, but I can't control the way my stomach rolls.
Work it off? Just how does he think I'll do that?
I don't want to know.
No, you can't talk to her.
Please, I whisper.
10 seconds,
he growls and passes me the phone.
Mac!
Cat, are you hurt? Can you tell me where you are?
I'm not hurt, I reply. God, I want to tell him I love him. I might not get another chance, but I don't want it to be over the fucking phone. Please find me.
Hang tight, baby. We're going to find you.
That's enough.
The phone is ripped from my hand.
You have 3 hours to get the money together. I don't give 2 shits that it's the middle of the night. Get the fucking money.
He ends the call and glares at me.
If you try to get out of this room, I'll kill you. If you try to use this phone,
he points at the landline on his desk,
I'll kill you. You stay on the couch until I tell you to move.
I don't reply.
Do you fucking understand me?
I nod once, and the three men leave, locking the door from the outside. I blow out a deep breath and will the tears to dry up. I can't fall apart now. I take another look around and frown. I think I'm in a warehouse. Could I be somewhere in the Pearl District? Let's be honest, I could be anywhere. There are warehouses all over Portland. Okay, Cat, think, I whisper. There has to be a way to get out of here. He can't kill you if he can't find you. Mac has to be worried sick. I can't imagine what he must have thought when I didn't return. Plus, I missed Adele. And that just pisses me right off, fuckers. I glare at the men through the door. What did he mean that I'd work off the money? Is he going to whore me out? Oh, hell no. I shake my head and feel the panic start to work its way up again. I'm not sure if I can hold it at bay much longer. I stand and walk to the door they locked. Press my ear against it and listen. It's quiet for a moment. But then someone else must walk in because they start to talk. I can't make out everything.
Trying to get it to you. Hard enough, you're a piece of shit.
They must be walking around the room because the voices ebb and flow in volume.
By the end of... Fuck that!
Suddenly there's a scuffle and a loud bang. I run back to the couch and hide behind it just as I hear,
Hands up! You're all under arrest!
Oh, thank God. I stay huddled in the corner in case there is more gunfire. Everything seems to be in slow motion. The noises, the voices, and then the door to the office is flung open, and an older version of Mac comes running inside.
You must be Cat, he says.
His eyes are kind but scared.
I'm Mac's father, Eric. You're safe now, sweetheart. I am so sorry.
Oh my God, I reply. It's all I can say. He pulls me to him and hugs me hard. Where's Mac?
He's here. I'll take you to him. Mr. McKenzie, you'll need to come with us,
a man in uniform says from the doorway.
We still need your official statement. Can I walk her out to my son first? I'll be right back. We'll need your statement too, miss,
the policeman nods.
But let's get you checked out first. We've got the men in custody. You're safe.
Eric wraps his arm around my shoulder and guides me outside. Mac is pacing the sidewalk across the street, being held back from coming in the building by more police. I break away from Eric and run toward Mac. I can't wait to be in his arms. Fuck, I need him.
Cat.
He catches me in his arms, holding me tight, kissing my head and cheek.
Are you hurt? Did they touch you?
I'm fine, I reply, and bury my face in his neck. He smells so damn good. I'm fine now.
Fuck, Cat.
I know. We're clinging to each other, neither of us wanting to let go despite people swarming around us. I've completely lost my composure, crying and clinging to Mac as if my life depends on it. Policemen are trying to ask me questions, but all that matters is that I'm in Mac's arms again. I'm so sorry that I worried you.
Stop,
he says, cupping my cheeks in his hands, brushing my tears away.
Not one bit of this is your fault. The important thing is that you're safe. God, Cat, I want to fucking kill them with my bare hands. I don't want to have to arrest you, too.
My head comes up at the familiar voice. Owen? He's dressed in his uniform and watching me grimly.
Are you okay?
I nod and cringe. My head is killing me. They knocked me out at the concert. I have a bit of a headache.
The ambulance is pulling you now,
Owen replies. I don't need an ambulance, I reply, and Mac scowls at me.
Of course you do. You're going to the hospital, he says.
No, I'm not, I shake my head stubbornly. I'm fine.
Cat, Mac begins, but Owen cuts him off. You were knocked unconscious. You're going to the hospital. Then you're going to rest and come see me first thing Monday morning to give me your statement.
I don't have to do it today, I ask in relief.
It's the weekend. These douchebags will sit in jail until Monday, and they can lawyer up anyway. I want you to rest. I'll see that she does, Mac says. Thank you.
Owen nods and leads us to the ambulance.
Can you climb in, or do you need a gurney?
The paramedic asks.
I can climb in, I reply. But I'm telling you, I don't need to go to the hospital.
You're so fucking stubborn,
Max says in exasperation.
Are you going to be this stubborn for the rest of our lives? I might need to mentally prepare for that.
I get settled on the gurney, and the paramedic begins hooking me up to wires and tubes. And then Max's words hit me. The rest of our lives?
If you think you're breaking up with me now, you've got another thing coming,
he says, and takes my hand in his, kissing my knuckles.
God, I was scared, Kat. I don't think I've ever been that scared.
Me too, I reply, and drag my fingers down his cheek. What a mess. How did they find me?
My dad, he replies. He kept calling, checking in to see if Chase, Mom, and I were safe. Finally, Chase told him that you were missing, and we didn't have time for idle chit-chat. Dad freaked out. He was worried that they were going to take one of us. He had no idea that I have been seeing you. He knew where their offices were and led the cops right to you. They had him go in first to talk, then followed him in to arrest them. They had to admit that they had you.
Your dad didn't mean for this to happen, I say softly. Mac nods.
I know, but he needs to get help. I'll talk to him after I know you're okay.
I'm telling you, I'm okay.
Great, we'll have a doctor confirm that.
I pout, sticking my lower lip out, and Mac grins.
Oh, I better call Mia.
It's the middle of the night, I remind him.
Everyone is at your condo. They've been there since I couldn't find you.
He dials the phone.
Hi, it's me. Yes, I have her, and we're on our way to Emmanuel Hospital now. She seems to be okay, but we're going to have a doctor check her out. Okay, sounds good. See you soon.
Well?
Now they're all headed to the hospital, too.
I feel more tears threaten. I love all of those people so much, and to know they love me just as much is overwhelming and humbling and such a fucking relief.
Hey, don't cry, baby.
It's the adrenaline, I reply and accept a tissue from the paramedic. It's a chemical reaction to a severely stressful stimulus.
And she says she's not a scientist,
he says with a smile, holding my hand. I glance down to see that I'm white-knuckling his fingers.
Please don't let go, I whisper.
He leans in and kisses me gently, then hooks a piece of hair behind my ear.
Never. You're stuck with me, Red.
Chapter 20. Mac. She's safe. My God, I think the past 24 hours took 10 years off my life, but I'd gladly trade them again for the same outcome. Kat is safe. We're waiting for the doctor to come discharge her, and then we can go home. They don't have to wait, she says, shaking her head. They know I'm fine. They should go home. They love you, I reply simply. They want to see you with their own eyes before they go. The whole gang moved from her place to the hospital and have been waiting here for 3 hours to see her. It's almost time for the sun to come up, and I know that I'm ready to take Kat home, curl around her as she sleeps, and never let her out of my sight again. Excuse us, Sue says as she pokes her head in the doorway. Can we come in and say hi? Hi, Mom, Kat replies with a tired smile. Of course. I kiss Kat's cheek, then stand back as her parents shuffle into the small room. While you sit with her, I'll go give everyone an update. Good idea, Stu says, shaking my hand. Thank you for taking care of her. I nod and hear Kat say, We're just waiting for the discharge papers, as I leave the room and walk down the hallway to the waiting room. Landon and Cammy are snuggled up in a corner, and Addie and Jake are sitting opposite them. Addie is rubbing circles over her belly. Mom, Mia, and Riley are chatting, and Chase is pacing the room. How is she? Chase asks. She's fine. Minor concussion is all, and they just gave her something for the headache. We're just waiting for the discharge papers. Thank God, Mia says, as Riley and Addie both break down in tears. What a fucking nightmare. It's over, I reply, and pull Mia in for a big hug. She's just fine, and she's safe. I hope they have a solid case on the fuckers who took her. They do, My head whips around at the sound of my dad's voice. They'll be in jail for a very long time. Good, because otherwise I'd have to go kick their asses myself, Kat says as she and her parents join us. I can't believe you're all still here. Seriously, somebody should be getting some sleep. Despite the sarcastic words, her eyes are full of tears as her friends and family rush to envelop her in hugs and love. While she's surrounded by those she loves the most, I pull my dad to the side. Since you're here, I assume they didn't press charges against you for illegal gambling. He shakes his head. No, they cut a deal with me in exchange for the information I gave them. I nod. Thank you for helping us find her. Fuck, Mac, I'm the reason they took her. You shouldn't be thanking me, you should be kicking my ass. I'm so sorry this happened. Oh, trust me, I've wanted to kick your ass more times than I can count over the past 10 years. I'm a disappointment, he says, hanging his head. You don't have to be, I reply with irritation. We've been telling you for years to get help, Dad. Jesus, Mom left you, and you didn't even notice she was gone for almost 2 weeks. I mean, who does that? I know. He scrubs his hand over his face. His eyes are tired and just defeated. Dad, you have to go to treatment. Treatment isn't free, son. God, you're a pain in the ass. I pace away from him, then back to him, and shove my hands in my pockets so I don't strangle him. Chase and I made a lot of money when we sold the bars. So? So I might not have been willing to pay for you to feed your habit, but I'll happily pay for treatment. Dad, you have to get a handle on this. Do it for Mom. We both look over at Mom, who's hugging Kat gently. She's an amazing woman. Yes, she is, and she loves you. She doesn't want to give up on you, Dad. Get some help so you can grow old with her. I'll do it. I don't know how I'll thank you for it, but I'll do it. Just get well. That's the only thanks I need. He nods, shakes my hand, and then pulls me in for a hug. I love you, son. I love you too, Dad. Well, we should probably get home, Landon announces, wrapping his arm around Cammy's shoulders, then frowns when he looks over at Addie. Are you okay, Blondie? These Braxton Hicks are crazy, she says, taking a deep breath. Honey, I don't think it's fake labor, Sue says, rubbing Addie's back. Suddenly, Addie looks down to find her pants soaked through. Oh, God, that's my worst nightmare. What? Kat asks. My water just broke in public. She reaches for Jake. It's a good thing we're already at the hospital because I'm going to have this baby today. Oh, my God, Riley says. Do you have your hospital bag? Jake just put it in the car yesterday, Addie says with a nod. Jake isn't speaking at all. He just looks shell-shocked. Let's get you checked in, Kat says. You need to go home, Addie replies, voicing my thoughts exactly. You were freaking kidnapped today. Go get some rest. Fuck that. You're having a baby, Kat says. I'm fine. Now let's get you checked in. Oh, God, Addie says, reaching for Jake's hand. This is going to freaking hurt. Take the drugs, Cammy suggests. What time is it? Riley asks. You just asked that 10 minutes ago, Mia says, but checks her phone anyway. It's noon. Is she ever going to have that baby? Riley asks and yawns. She's been in there for 7 hours. I was in labor with Kat for 36 hours, Sue replies with a smile. The baby will come when it's ready. You deserve an award or something, Cammy says, her eyes wide in wonder. That sounds like agony. It wasn't a party, Sue replies with a laugh. I think I tried to kill Stu with my bare hands at one point, but then she came and she was the tiniest, sweetest thing I'd ever seen. I'm still the sweetest thing you've ever seen, Kat says, winking at her mom. We should find out how she's progressing, and if it's slow, we could take shifts. That's not a bad idea, Landon replies. We're all just a phone call away. I'm not leaving, Mia says, shaking her head. You all can go home if you want, and I'll call when there's news. I want to be back there with her, Cammy says with a frown. It's not right that we're not there. She said that only those who were there during conception are allowed to be there for the birth, Riley replies, rolling her eyes. I mean, come on. Do you think the doctor was there saying, that's right, Jake, give it to her? Ew, Cammy replies, scowling. That's not sexy at all. Exactly, Riley says. We have a baby, Jake exclaims, running into the room. He looks exhausted and sweaty and so damn happy. She's amazing. They're both amazing. Oh my God, I'm a dad. Is it a girl or a boy? Mia asks. A girl, he says with a grin. I have to get back in there. He turns and runs off, and the girls stare at each other in shock. What about her name and how much she weighs? Kat asks me. I'm not back there either, I remind her. This is why one or all of us should be back there, Cammy says, shaking her head. He's too flummoxed to give us information. We're going to leave now that we know she's okay, Sue says to Kat, hugging her close. I'm so glad you're safe. Me too, Mama. Thank you. Stu gets a hug in there as well before they leave, hand in hand. Mom and Chase both left after Addie was checked in and we were settled here in the waiting room. So we're left with the five girls, Landon and me. Should we see if we can go back to see them? Kat asks. I'd like to go home to get a few hours of sleep, then come back this afternoon. I'm sure Addie and Jake need some rest too, Cammy says with a nod. I'll ask the nurse. She hurries off to find someone and I drag my fingers down Kat's cheek. I just can't stop touching her. We should go home. I want to see them first, she says with a yawn. But then yes, let's go home. You have to be exhausted. I'm more delirious now, I think, she says with a laugh. I'm past tired. But it's okay because Addie was up all day and night and had a baby. I love how you put things into perspective. She can have visitors, two at a time, Cammy says with a smile. Kat, you and Mac go first so you can get home. You don't have to tell me twice, Kat says with a smile. We head out, walking down the hallway to Addie's room, and walk in to find her snuggled in her bed, Jake at her side, and the new baby cradled in her arms. Hi, Addie says with a grin. I had a baby. That's the rumor, Kat says, tears filling her eyes. Oh my gosh, Addie. Right? She gently brushes her finger over the baby's cheek. She's so little. Kat walks around the bed to hug Jake, then pushes him out of her way. It's my turn, dude. You've been hogging her all morning. Well, you know I'm the dad and all, Jake replies with a grin. I'm the auntie, Kat says with a smile. Oh, can I hold her? Of course. Addie passes the baby to Kat. Her face softens and she begins to sway back and forth. Hello, baby. We've been very excited to meet you, you know. What's her name? I ask. You didn't tell them? Addie asks Jake with a frown. I was running on adrenaline, he says. We're lucky I made it out there to tell them she was born. Well, Kat asks. Ella, Addie says with a smile. As in Fitzgerald? Kat asks. Of course, Jake replies. Her name is Ella Lou Keller. She weighs in at 6 pounds, 2 ounces, and she's only 18 inches long. You're a tiny little thing, Kat whispers to Ella. Oh, I'm so in love with you. You're so wonderful. Look at her toes, Addie says, unwrapping the bottom of the blanket to show us 10 perfectly pink little toes. They're so little. Everything about her is little, Jake says, then swallows hard. I don't want to break her. You won't, Addie says. Babies are strong and you're gentle. She's going to be just fine. Kat yawns widely, then kisses Ella's head and passes her back to Addie. I'm so happy for you both. Congratulations. Thank you. Jake pulls Kat in for a tight hug. Now you need to go home and get some rest. That's the plan. Kat blows a kiss to Addie as we leave the room. I've never been this tired. Let's get you home, sweetheart. It's crazy, Kat says as we walk into her condo. What is? Think of everything that's happened in the past 24 hours. I mean, a lot of shit went down. Yes, I was there. But I walk in here and it's exactly as I left it, as if nothing happened at all. Come here. Unable to wait a minute longer, I pull her to me and hold her tightly. I haven't had you to myself yet. I'm right here, she replies softly, but then sniffles. I'm not sad. I know. I'm not even scared anymore. It's exhaustion, baby. I'm so happy for Addie. She wipes her nose and looks up at me. Maybe I changed my mind. Maybe I do want a baby someday. You're allowed to change your mind about that. I smile and brush a tear off of her cheek. I know I haven't said it before, and I feel dumb because I wanted to say it 1,000 times, but I was scared and I thought I had all the time in the world. I love you, Mac. I scoop her up into my arms and carry her to the bedroom, laying her gently on the bed, then covering her body with mine. I cup her cheek and kiss her softly, sweeping my lips over hers, nudging her nose as my heart soars with her sweet words. You're the best part of my life, Katrina, I whisper against her lips. You taught me something from the very beginning. I brush a piece of hair off her cheek and smile down at her, enjoying the way her brown eyes shine. Just because you're breathing doesn't mean you're alive. You've made me feel alive. It's like I took the first full, deep breath of my life the minute you sat in that seat on that plane, Kat. You consume me in ways that are both exciting and terrifying, because as I learned yesterday, if I were to lose you, it would kill me. You're not going to lose me, she whispers. I love you, but even those words seem too simple to describe how I feel about you. It's an ache, right here in my chest, but it's an ache that you don't want to end. I look at you, and I'm calm. I hold you, and I'm complete. Loving you, Kat, is like coming home, and it's better than any other feeling I've ever had. A tear escapes the corner of her eye, falling into her hairline. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me, she whispers. And you calm me, too. You make me feel safe and so fucking happy. I can be me with you. Being vulnerable is so out of my comfort zone, but it's easy with you. I kiss her lips, softly at first, then building into a kiss as passionate as we've ever shared. Our hands and arms work fast to shed our clothes, and when we're naked, I cover her once more and rest my cock in her soft folds, cradle her head in my hands, and kiss her until we're both breathless. Mac? Yes, my love. I need you to make love to me. She bites my lower lip and circles her hips, making my eyes cross. That's my plan. I kiss her chin, then nibble my way down her neck to her collarbones and lick my way to her nipple. Oh, I love it when you do that, she breathes. You are really very good with your mouth. I'm just getting started. Her body comes alive beneath me, that blush I love spreading over her chest and into her cheeks. She spreads her legs, opening herself up to me in the most gorgeous way, and I'm going to explore every inch of her until she's writhing and shouting my name. Her stomach quivers as I gently bite and kiss my way down to her center. She's already wet, making me harder than I was before, and I didn't think that was possible. I settle in between her legs and drag my finger over her smooth pink lips, protruding clit, then back down to her slick opening. She reaches down and sinks her fingers into my hair, gripping tightly as I wreak havoc on her pussy, making her moan and writhe deliciously. You're so fucking sexy, I growl. She bites her lip and tips her head back, holding on to the pillow with her free hand while I push 2 fingers inside her and curl them, rubbing her most sensitive spot. Jesus, she moans, then comes spectacularly, grinding herself against my hand. I kiss my way up her body, protect us both, and slip effortlessly inside of her, making us both sigh. You feel so fucking good. I rest my forehead on hers and begin to move in and out at a leisurely, lazy pace. I'm in no hurry to reach the finish line. I just want to love her. I had no idea sex could feel this amazing, she says. This is making love, Kat, I reply. I'm not fucking you. We're not having sex. We're making love. That's what it is, she says with the sweetest smile. I guess I didn't recognize it because I've never done it before. Oh, baby. I drag my knuckles down her cheek. Thank you. for? Being you, being mine. I kiss down her cheek to her neck, for loving me. Loving you is what calms me in the storm, Mac. It's the safest thing I've ever done. You're amazing. She grins and circles her hips, that satisfied, cocky grin on her gorgeous face. Thanks for noticing.
Chapter 21. 6 weeks later. Cat.
We should have done this weeks ago, Cammy says as she sips her sample of wine.
I was pregnant weeks ago, Addie reminds her with a grin. I would have had a major meltdown if you guys had gone on a wine tour without me.
We aren't mean, I reply, and take a bite of brie cheese with salami and a water cracker.
The salami is delicious. That's what she said.
Riley giggle snorts at her joke.
Seriously, Mac, this is fun.
Mac is taking us on a special wine tour today. It's just us five girls and him. And I'll admit it's kind of fun to be able to flirt with a tour guide.
Do a lot of people hit on you during the tour?
Cammy asks him.
Because I find that the drunker I get, the more likely I am to flirt. And you're hot, so...
Sometimes, Mac admits, making me scowl. But I laugh it off and send them on their way.
I'll punch them, I announce. Bitches hitting on my man.
Bitches hit on my man all the time, Addie reminds me. It's a compliment that your man is hot.
If they touch him, they die.
Aw, that's the sweetest thing anyone has ever said to me, Mac says with a laugh. Don't worry, love. No one touches me.
That's right,
I reply with a nod.
I have some news, Cammy says with a grin, but it has to stay between us.
Who else do we talk to?
Mia asks.
I only talk to you guys, so that's not an issue.
Still, what happens on the wine tour stays on the wine tour.
Cammy points at Mac.
Got it?
I hear nothing, Mac replies.
Okay, Landon and I are going to start trying to get pregnant again.
That's so great, I exclaim,
and we raise our glasses in salute.
Ella is so sweet, and I'm feeling healthy again. So we're going to give it a whirl, but there's no pressure. I'm not going to take my temperature 40 times a day or anything crazy.
Yet, Riley says with a smile, I'm happy for you, friend. Let's get you properly liquored up so you can have sloppy, drunk sex when you get home.
I love that plan, Cammy says, clapping her hands. Bring on the liquor.
This is a wine tour, Mac reminds her with a smile.
Bring on the wine, she says happily. Hey, Mac, how's your dad?
He's good, thanks, Mac replies. He just got out of treatment, and so far, things are great. Mom's thinking about moving back in with him in a couple weeks.
I'm so happy that all worked out for the best, Riley says. Good for him for getting help.
Cat being put in harm's way was the last straw for him, and for us,
Mac says.
Something good came out of something horrible,
Mia says, in the matter-of-fact way that only Mia says things.
So what happens next? Riley asks.
With what? I ask in return.
All four of my best friends roll their eyes.
With you, Cammy says.
Well, we're happy with things as they are, I reply, looking up into Mac's smiling face. As long as we're together, it doesn't matter the pace. It's the journey, not the destination.
That's way too deep this far into a wine tour, Addie says, shaking her head. I'm not even sure I understand what you just said.
I'm happy, I reply with a laugh.
I'm happy with the way things are.
Perfect, Mia holds up her glass. I'm empty, Mr. Wonderful.
We can't have that. Mac chooses a new wine and pours us each a sample. As the girls swirl and smell it, he leans down to whisper in my ear.
This is the best journey of my life.
I grin up at him and pucker my lips, inviting him in for a kiss, which he doesn't turn down.
We're just getting started.
Epilogue. Cat.
Where is Riley?
Cammy asks, and braces her head in her hands, leaning on my bar. We're gathered together for a meeting, but Riley's late.
Are you hungover from yesterday? Addie asks with a satisfied smile. Mac got me so drunk, Cammy says with a groan.
But did it work? I ask. Did you have sloppy drunk sex?
Oh, yeah.
She peeks through her hands and flashes me a satisfied smile.
We had a lot of fun. He does this thing.
Oh, my God, stop talking, Mia says,
holding up her hands and shaking her head violently.
I do not need to hear about my brother's sexploits.
Killjoy, Addie mutters. Now that I'm allowed to have sex again, and Ella sleeping through the night, I had some sloppy drunk sex myself.
Cammy holds her fist out for Addie to bump.
Atta girl.
You guys are not going to believe this,
Riley says as she walks into the bar, her heels clicking smartly on the floor.
I don't know if I even believe it.
You were abducted by aliens, I say and smirk when she narrows her eyes at me.
I'm serious.
Okay, what is it? Mia asks.
I just got off the phone with a guy named Trevor Cooper. He's the executive producer of a reality food show on Best Bites TV.
Mia's eyes widen.
I watch that channel all the time.
I know,
Riley says and claps her hands excitedly.
He says he's heard amazing things about our restaurant, and they might want to have us on that show, Traveling Eats. And he says he has other ideas for some long-term features, too.
No,
Mia says, immediately crossing her arms over her chest.
What do you mean, no?
Riley demands.
I don't want cameras in my kitchen, Mia says, shaking her head. It'll only distract me.
Mia, this is a huge deal. This is the kind of exposure that can make seduction explode.
We're busy enough, Mia insists.
This is not just your place, Riley replies, her voice rising. All of us own it.
It's my kitchen.
This is national television. It's an honor that they want to even consider it.
I'm honored then, Mia says with a shrug. But I still say no.
I think we should consider it, I add, and hold Mia's gaze firmly when she glares at me.
We have to think about the big picture, Mia. Riley's right. It could mean a lot of really exciting things for us. You're not going to talk me into this.
What I want to know is, does this Trevor guy sound hot? Addie asks with a grin.
He sounds like a man,
Riley replies, gritting her teeth.
You're not taking this seriously. It's national television. It's the kind of opportunity that everyone wants and a rare few get.
Okay, so what's the next step? Cammy asks.
Trevor is coming here next week,
Riley replies with a triumphant smile.
He wants to check us out, and I warned him that he'd have to talk Mia into it.
He can talk all he wants,
Mia says stubbornly.
Trevor is a hot name, Addie says thoughtfully. Maybe Riley could be his sexcation. How did I end up in business with you guys?
Riley demands, her hands on her hips.
I'm not sleeping with a network television producer. I'm hoping he'll want us on his show.
And I'm hoping he doesn't, Mia says.
Riley narrows her eyes.
He'll be here next Wednesday. Do not sabotage this, Mia. I mean it.
I won't, Mia says with a sigh. But I want it known now that I am not in favor of it.
So noted, Riley grins. Network television, you guys? We're about to hit the big time.
This is Abby Creighton. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Blush for Me, a fusion novel by Kristen Proby. Produced by Elgin Productions. Executive producer Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2017 by Kristen Proby. Production copyright 2017 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.